Este documento puede contener declaraciones de revelaciones futuras relacionadas con Grupo Sura y sus filiales, las cuales han sido realizadas bajo supuestos y estimaciones de la administración de las compañías y pueden presentar variaciones. Muy buenos días y muchas gracias por acompañarnos a este espacio de resultados del cuarto trimestre del 2021. El día de hoy tendremos una presentación que estará separada en dos partes. Primero estaremos hablando de los resultados financieros y luego tendremos un espacio en vivo de preguntas y respuestas. Por parte de la compañía, hoy nos acompaña Gonzalo Pérez, el presidente del Grupo Sura, Ricardo Jaramillo, el vicepresidente de Desarrollo de Negocios y Finanzas, Juan Luis Munera, el vicepresidente de Asuntos Legales, Juan Uribe, el vicepresidente de Finanzas e Inversiones de Suramericana, y Carlos Oquendo, el vicepresidente de Finanzas Corporativas de Sura Asset Management. En este momento, le doy la palabra a Gonzalo Pérez.
Muchas gracias, Daniel. A ustedes nuevamente y nuestro agradecimiento por asistir a esta llamada de resultados de cierre del 2021. Quisiéramos empezar hablando en el 2021 de los ingresos. ¿Por qué de los ingresos? Porque los ingresos significan realmente cuál ha sido la aceptación en las filiales, en el total de la operación de Grupo Sura, del público en general y de los consumidores. Esos ingresos en el año anterior fueron superiores a los que estábamos esperando y que habíamos conversado con ustedes y llegaron a 24.8 billones de pesos durante el 2021, que se descomponen en unos ingresos de primas de Suramericana, un poco más de 21 billones de pesos, con un crecimiento superior al 16% y un 2.6 billones en comisiones de Sura Asset Management con un crecimiento del 13.6%. Pero el otro lado, desde el punto de vista del método de participación, el año anterior fue un año récord en método de participación en la historia del Grupo Sura, con un incremento muy importante, lógicamente, sobre el año 2020, pero sobre el 2019 también fue un crecimiento nominal superior al 8%. Ese ingreso por método de participación alcanzó 1.3 billones, casi 1.4 billones de pesos para la compañía. Entonces, desde la óptica de los ingresos, estuvimos un año, insistimos, con casi 25 billones de ingresos para Grupo Sura consolidado y con un crecimiento bastante importante del 19% superior a lo que habíamos pronosticado a comienzos del año. Del otro lado, empezamos a mirar los gastos de operación. Todos ustedes saben y lo hemos venido así contando que parte de nuestro objetivo y del objetivo de las filiales es trabajar todos los días en materia de la eficiencia. Esa eficiencia nos va a generar, es un elemento para la competitividad y para la sostenibilidad. En materia de eficiencia, los gastos crecieron el 5.3% frente, ya lo mencionamos, frente a un crecimiento del 19% de los ingresos, obviamente mejora el margen de la compañía. Aquí hay que tener en cuenta que esos gastos incluyen los gastos de COVID que Suramericana ha incurrido, y en este caso incurrió en el 2021, que incrementa más o menos 1.3% a ese 5.3, lo que hace que sigamos en esa senda de eficiencia que desde el principio pues, hemos estado persiguiendo, insistimos en busca de la competitividad y con él de los resultados de la compañía. Por último, la utilidad neta de la compañía, que cerró en 1.5 billones de pesos, es una utilidad neta que es importante hacer una anotación. En noviembre y diciembre, dado el aumento de salario mínimo en Colombia del 10%, implicó una cifra cercana a los 120 mil millones de pesos para Grupo Sura, menores a los que estábamos esperando. Entonces, esa utilidad neta de los 1.5 billones, sabemos, fue afectada por ese incremento del salario mínimo que, pues, como ustedes todos saben, impacta las reservas tanto de protección y en el caso de Suramericana, de la ARL y de todas las rentas que puede tener en reservas pensionales en Suramericana. Ahí tuvimos un impacto del último trimestre y casi que del último mes superior a 100 mil millones de pesos directamente para Grupo Sura. Esas, entonces esa utilidad de los 1.5 billones superior a las a la esperada, el 89% de la utilidad que tuvimos en 2019 es la utilidad con la que estamos cerrando el 2021, que insistimos está por fuera de las expectativas o por encima de las expectativas que teníamos, pero que desafortunadamente el incremento del salario mínimo hizo que no estuviera al nivel del 2019, porque con esa cifra estaríamos bastante cerca ya a las utilidades del 2019 que tuvo Grupo Sura. Por su parte, y como les habíamos manifestado en llamadas anteriores, vamos a empezar a darles pues unas guías de lo que son las proyecciones de Grupo Sura y de sus compañías filiales para los próximos años. Así empezamos por decirles que en el 2022 estamos esperando un crecimiento de la utilidad neta entre el 10 y el 15%, lo que implica un ROE cercano al 8 o al 9%. Pero lo que estas proyecciones nos están dando es que en el año 2024 estaremos ya con un retorno superior al costo de capital, que era, como ustedes bien saben, el objetivo primario que teníamos en toda esta senda de creación de valor para todos ustedes, los accionistas y los inversionistas. También el desapalancamiento, que es parte, claro, de buscar esta senda de creación de valor, ha tenido una evolución desde el 2017 hasta el 2021, en que ya estamos hablando de 1.6 billones de pesos en desapalancamiento en el consolidado de la compañía. De otro lado, también estamos hablando de una optimización de capital de 3.5 billones que lo hemos venido conversando pues desde años atrás y en el año anterior, lo que nos hace todos los días mucho más eficientes en la gestión del capital. Y nuestra deuda sobre dividendos recibidos pues viene desde el 2021 en 6.6 veces los dividendos. Aquí en el 2022, con los presupuestos de utilidad que tenemos, estaremos entre el 3.7 y el 4.3, y para el 2024 estaremos hablando del 2.5 veces de dividendos recibidos, lo que sigue en esa senda de creación de valor y eficiencia de la compañía desde el punto de vista financiero también. Por último, es importante agregar todo el esquema de dividendos pagados. En los últimos 20 años, Grupo Sura ha pagado 5 billones de pesos en dividendos, lo que tiene, lo que implica un crecimiento, ya hemos compuesto, del 10% durante esos últimos 20 años. Eso es importante porque la retribución de ustedes, los accionistas, este año pues, la propuesta a la Asamblea es un crecimiento to the shareholders meeting. It's a 30% growth of dividend for shareholders, which we expect will be approved and ratified by this meeting. En este sentido, claramente desde el 2019 buscando también la creación de valor a los accionistas y buscando algo que ustedes también lo saben muy bien, es que el valor de la acción refleje estos comportamientos de la compañía, que el valor de la acción refleje el crecimiento patrimonial, el valor de la acción refleje el crecimiento de las utilidades, el valor de la acción refleje los ingresos de la compañía, los crecimientos en ingresos de la compañía durante todos estos años. Pues desde el 2019 se ha venido trabajando,
we have been working on, and we have mentioned it to you before, on the SOX, SOX, to find an opportunity
to be listed
in the New York Stock Exchange. Indeed, SOX for this company, for the group of companies, is a long process, and it's been underway for the past few years. And the pandemic obviously slowed down our work in SOX, since the companies had to serve the pandemic. That is, we're talking about serving 43 companies and over 3,000 controls design. So it has been a long and hard process, but it will help us in every sense, not only to open the doors to be able to be listed in the New York Stock Exchange, but to also have controls that will help the company's management. I mean, SOX is not the end itself, but also a tool that enables us
la oportunidad de entrar a la bolsa de Nueva York y con eso, ojalá this, que la acción refleje los comportamientos de la compañía en los últimos años y en los próximos años, pues
in coming
también
years,
es una herramienta para la gestión
is also a tool to manage every subsidiary in Grupo Sura.
Como dentro de nuestros objetivos
Since
estratégicos, como realmente se persigue y se debe perseguir, está
growth,
ese crecimiento económico, pero adicionalmente una,
the
un crecimiento armónico de la sociedad,
society,
lo que pues ya el mundo entero lo está reclamando con razón,
claiming.
Pues también queremos hablar sobre toda la gestión que nosotros estamos haciendo
growth,
en materia de ese crecimiento armónico de la sociedad. Primero, una
First,
política de inversión
sustainable
la sostenibilidad
policy.
Es la razón de ser de estas compañías, es la razón de ser de la industria, de la sociedad y de los países, mirarlo siempre en el largo plazo. En esa política de inversión sostenible hemos actualizado
policy,
y hemos excluido nuevos sectores y priorización de riesgos. Acordémonos que tanto en Sura Asset Management como en Sura Americana, por sus reservas, y por sus AUMs en Sura Asset Management, en el caso nuestro, pues jugamos un papel muy importante en materia de inversión. Entonces, estamos hablando de inversión sostenible, estamos excluyendo una nueva industria y estamos priorizando algunos riesgos. Lo que no quiere decir por las herramientas que tenemos, tanto en Sura Asset Management como en Sura Americana, que no acompañemos esas inversiones también en volverse inversiones más sostenibles. Y desde el otro lado, todo ese tema de finanzas sostenibles
definición
we have de determined de gobierno,
new governance, new metrics, and prioritized risks, particularly for climate change
humanos,
and human rights,
es,
which,
no lo demanda,
again,
la
society
hoy en día,
demands
y que
today.
Ojalá nos anticipáramos nosotros,
we hope, as
Grupo Sura,
Grupo Sura, to advance on this matter more
pues,
than the planet
este tema.
Is.
Hablemos de el índice
Let's
de,
talk
de
about
Dow
the Dow Jones Sustainability Index,
que ha sido ya tradicional
which
para
our group
este grupo,
has belonged to
muchos años
for many
perteneciendo
years.
Al índice
in this
que
index,
ustedes bien saben también es por invitación
we, you know,
y en ese índice
de Dow
Jones pues logramos ocupar el tercer puesto a nivel mundial en la industria. Más allá del tercer puesto es el compromiso
third,
genuino que tiene esta compañía de buscar
again,
insistimos ese crecimiento armónico de la sociedad, ese crecimiento armónico de la misma compañía que es lo que
company,
refleja la sostenibilidad. Ahí tuvimos máximos puntajes
the
en temas como libertad de asociación, como temas de planeación de talento y programas de formación,
training,
100 sobre 100. Tuvimos máximo puntaje también en los códigos de conducta y políticas de corrupción y soborno,
corruption and bribery, which are relevant
in every economy
today,
obtaining
the highest score, 100 over 100,
and we had a very relevant score in
very relevant score
in best practices
to compensate
ahí
the
también
senior management,
se destacó en
which the company stood out in the valuation made by Dow Jones of Grupo Sura and its subsidiaries, which at the end, they're all measured under this metric. Regarding citizenship and democracy, we have increasingly worked on training citizens using all of the means
and mechanisms
to face misinformation. Today, in every process in Latin America,
pues lo que
and worldwide,
requerimos es
we need to provide the population tools so they can make well-informed decisions
informadas, lo mejor
and also
posible, pero para que
to also have tools available to fight against misinformation, which
siendo,
also is part of this so-called difficult setting of citizenship
de toda la de
and democracy.
Empezamos un trabajo
the company began
desde
to work
anterior,
on building
de conversaciones
based
para construir desde la diversidad,
diversity,
pensar con otros
and
ha sido
thinking with others
un proyecto que hoy es una realidad, que lo hemos
today.
Hecho ya a nivel de América Latina. Y
we've
tenemos
done this
que hablar
throughout
Colombia,
Latin and the project of Let's Talk Colombia, derived from Let's Talk Chile,
was held with more than 5,000
persons
para
gathered
para
to discuss
Colombia.
And I hope that you will see soon the results of this project, since
este
they are truly important for the management of Colombia, and which is valid for every country. We continued with the dialogues of regions to build citizenship
como parte
and consolidate
de la consolidación de la democracia and this group as well as societies where we operate. La Fundación Sura,
Sura Foundation celebrated last year its 50th anniversary working in education, culture, citizenship, and democracy. In the last call, we were asked about the foundation in which we invested $8.2 million last year with more than 186,000 persons impacted and related to the foundation with more than 1,700 organizations. This is part of the second strategic goal, the creation of value for shareholders economical exceeding the capital cost in the path we are now on. And as we said before, by 2024, we will have that harmonious growth of society with the work we are doing now. Lastly, it's important to say that with the effective term of the takeover bids, there is a regulatory rule of passivity, which states that any information or decision that may be interpreted as an interference of the takeover bid is there. So therefore, the company, management, and the board have decided to strictly abide to this rule. And this is why the company's reaction is just to abide to said rule in these practically last 3 months. And our communications are just to avoid affecting the takeover bid that exists over Grupo Sura. Corporate governance and will always be the most important tool we have to respect all of our shareholders and investors. And indeed, it's the tool that makes it possible for anybody on the planet to trust that his or her investments or stocks are managed with the highest standards, respecting 100% of the shareholders. Again, thank you so much for joining us in this call of the 2021 results. And I give the floor to Ricardo Jaramillo, who will provide details of the results and strategies to create value of our company. Thank you.
Muchas gracias, Gonzalo.
Thank you, Gonzalo, and a special hello to everyone joining us today. I want to focus on two matters. First, the financial statements of the three companies, Grupo Sura Consolidated, Sura Asset Management, and Sura Americana. And second, to take a closer look at the indicators of Grupo Sura for coming years. As Gonzalo said, we have had the commitment for years, and as we have mentioned in previous calls, we want to shed light on the company's projections and developments. Let's turn, please, to slide 9 with the consolidated financial statement of Grupo Sura. I would highlight here that the recovery of the company is much faster than our initial expectations. Our net profit is 1.5 trillion pesos, 1.4 of the holding company, which is 6 times the profit level of 2020, and it means 89% of the profit reached in 2019. Again, this exceeds the expectations we had at the beginning of the year.
So how did this transition take place?
It's been leveraged mainly by the sound commercial dynamics that we will see in detail. Second, our ongoing effort to control expenses, emphasizing the drive shown to control expenses. And lastly, evidence of the soundness and benefits of the diversification of the portfolio of Grupo Sura. Let's take a close look at the consolidated revenue of Grupo Sura, which, as Gonzalo said, reached almost 25 trillion. This represents a growth of 19%, a growth that is diversified throughout our lines, bringing an additional 4 billion to the company's revenue. Premiums issued grew 16% and 22.7% in the last quarter. Revenue from commissions increased 14%. Revenue from investments grew 23%. And very important is the equity method, which grew 4 times. And that I will explain ahead.
El segundo punto
the second
a resaltar
item
en los
worth underscoring on this slide is the claims ratio, which was so important
un punto importante
in
en el
2021. Suramericana had 12 months of the pandemic compared to 2020, when there were less months impacted. In 2021, it was all 12 months.
Como pueden ver, claims ratio was 2.5
trillion, up 24%. And we will see this closer ahead when we discuss each segment.
Los gastos de operación
operating
crecieron 5.3,
expenses grew 5.3,
también tenemos un poco de detalle más adelante.
Which
este es un crecimiento por debajo de la inflación.
The difference here between the growth of expenses and revenue allow us to reach an operating profit close to 2.6 trillion, up 59%. Again, this figure exceeds our expectations, and these are the results that lead us to the net profit mentioned. Let's go to slide 10 with the equity method of the different companies.
Este método
again,
de participación,
this equity method is a record high of the company, almost $1.4 trillion and $401 billion in the last quarter. This item is mainly driven by
Bancolombia.
You can see that Bancolombia contributes almost to the $1 trillion in equity method. We also see a significant growth of other investments of Grupo Argos Nutresa en Protección.
Pasemos, por
let's
favor,
move
a la página
on
número
to slide
11.
Here, let's take a close look at operating expenses.
Pues
these expenses grew 5.3%
below inflation. Pero aquí hay dos
however,
o
there
tres
are two or three indicators that are relevant and should be kept in mind to illustrate
este
this process in place
desde el principio de la pandemia,
since the beginning of the pandemic for a strong control of expenses. First is the indicator of expenses over revenue. As you can see, this indicator is improving close to 326 basic points in the last quarter, and this is a lot of money given the revenue. That is, the revenue derived from those expenses, such as revenue from premiums, revenue from commissions, mainly. So there is a significant improvement of this indicator. The other point that is quite relevant is when we see how much we increased revenue and expenses. And we can see that for every peso spent, we increase revenue 5 times. This means that we have a strong operating leverage in our rentabilization process. Let's look closer at the figures of Sudamericana. Here we can begin by saying that Sudamericana ended the year with a positive net profit backed by sound commercial dynamics, a strong control of expenses, and a significant impact that claims ratio derived from two causes,
COVID
and restrictions in the logistics, which have a big impact on car solutions, plus the inflation related to car parts as well as the cost of this solution.
Miremos entonces las
let's
primas
look at
emitidas.
The premiums
las primas
issued,
emitidas
which reached almost
billones,
22 trillion, up 16.5%, which in turn provides the company a significant liquidity to handle the level of losses handled. With COVID, the figure is about 1.6 trillion pesos of losses. But the positive message here is that during the last quarter, there were 185 billion losses, displaying the lowest losses of the pandemic. In short, we have begun to see, after the vaccinations, better results in terms of the company's claims ratio. And ahead, we will see that the company expects in 2022 to see this continue and to return to the normal claims ratio levels it had displayed. Claims ratio was at 70.8 and 71% in the quarter, which we will see in each segment
más adelante.
Ahead.
Mencionaba también
Gonzalo also mentioned something important. In this quarter, we had an impact from the minimum wage, meaning the difference between inflation and the increase of the minimum wage. We expected a figure lower
more than 10% approved. Además, por una
Moreover, as a result of a recommendation
externo,
made by our external auditor, since this increase took place
pues
in November, the company had to record
decir,
it in 2021. In short, 2021 was hit by the difference between the minimum wage and inflation in January and in November.
Es que en el
the positive side is that we won't have this in 22 since the effect was recorded
again in 21.
The foregoing had an impact on Sudamericana of 135 billion pesos, of which 55% goes to losses and 45% to reserves.
Es decir, el
this means that 55% of that figure is reflected
en
on the financial statements in losses. The technical result reached 1.6 trillion, and you can see in the figure the drop from 8.1 to 6%, mainly driven by the claims ratio.
Y el otro punto
and another important
ver
item
los
here is administrative expenses, fees, and others, which grew 2.5%. So we have a company with revenue up 16% and controlling expenses at 2%. Still, the net result was not very positive compared with what Sudamericana had in the past. But again, the company has had important capabilities and efficiencies during this recovery phase from the pandemic. The other item worth highlighting is the development of revenue from investments. This item grew after displaying for several months or quarters a decrease, mainly due to the increased interest rates and inflation. So now we're seeing that the portfolios of each segment have positive dynamics after growing throughout the entire year.
Pasemos entonces,
let's move on to the next slide with
ahí el segmento de vida. Y yo en el segmento de vida quisiera
hand in hand with what was said before, we see sound dynamics of growth of the different solutions, particularly in healthcare, labor risk, and group life.
Donde hemos tenido
healthcare
en salud
increased
18.2,
labor risk 15.9, and group life 11.5.
Otro mensaje también
Another
importante
important
en esta dinámica comercial es que ya en vida,
life,
que
which,
saben
know,
que principalmente la operación de vida en Colombia, ya estamos
Colombia,
llegando a cerca del 20% de las primas
the
de este segmento
segment,
de la plataforma regional o fuera de Colombia.
Overseas.
Los siniestros
on the
top
right figure, you can see the loss of display
a
positive development during the past quarters, which gives us peace of mind as to what may lie ahead. We also see here a strong control of expenses. You can see increased commissions, not because of more commissions per se, but due to a mix mainly from the banking channel, which speeds up when the mix of costs of commissions is higher.
Y por último,
lastly,
vemos, pues, la
we can see the net profit that was positive in the last two quarters
y una evolución
and a very positive development in the last quarters of revenue from investments.
Pasemos a la
Let's
página
move on,
15,
please,
vamos
to slide 15 to take a closer look
general.
At the segment of cash
pay.
We can begin by saying that we still have sound commercial dynamics and a growth of 29.5% in
ese
last quarter.
Decirlo,
this growth is divided into two components. Two-thirds pertain to tariff
and
the other third
de
to volume.
Ese
the growth
volume
of volume is of 10%,
es
which is logical when we look at the growth
año 2021
of premiums
para las
of the entire segment.
Desde el punto de vista
from the segment's
segmento,
point of view,
el punto más
in addition
destacar,
to the sound
este
commercial dynamics that I've mentioned,
es la
it is worth underscoring the claims ratio
este
we have mentioned, which relates to
logistics
and to the higher
prices
of car parts. This is reflected in the combined reason, close to 114%, which should begin to be mitigated by the increase of tariffs we mentioned before. Another item highlighted
and
mentioned in other calls is that this segment now registers the operation of life in other countries such as Mexico or Panama, which are under a single company. These two countries have brought more claims ratio due to COVID, and in this quarter alone, 31 billion pesos were brought of claims ratio ratio related to COVID.
Entonces, si miráramos, so, if we look at the final profit scene on the bottom right inferior derecha of 21 billion, y devolviéramos and we go back to the 31 billion, we're talking about casualty with profits close to 52 billion.
Esa siniestralidad que estamos mencionando, como pueden ver en la gráfica shown in the figure of the administration of expenses, has been controlled by a strong control of expenses
to be administrative, commissions, and technical. La página 16 vemos
slide
el segmento
16
de salud.
Shows the healthcare segment. This segment mainly gathers the EPS or Ayudas Diagnosticas, the entity in charge of making all of the tests, and the HMO, the entity that provides all the services.
Esto es importante tenerlo en cuenta porque en la dinámica de crecimiento vemos que en la dinámica de growth, we can see that as the pandemic has evolved, the EPS keeps growing fast. Sin embargo, Ayudas Diagnosticas, IPS, que en algún momento tuvo un crecimiento
and HMO, which had a strong growth, have decreased slightly in the last quarter.
This
also impacts the claims ratio because when the EPS is more relevant in the mix, it collects the expenses with the most claims ratio in the segment.
Hay un incremento,
despite
pese
the increased claims ratio, there is an improvement of severity in most cases.
Pues,
this is
noticias,
seen every day in the news with the new strains
Omicron,
of Omicron.
Es que
so we see
a
larger spread,
more
persons infected, but the severity of the cases
is lower.
And this is seen in the figures
salud,
of the healthcare segment.
Salud,
the control
de gastos
of expenses remains strict,
to have a positive para poder profit mantener, como vemos for, al final, una the company. En la ¿se
and
do
you remember when we spoke last quarter of a reserve? The external auditor asked us to make a reserve for the accounts receivable to the government. Of this reserve, we got back 78 billion pesos.
Razón por la cual
and this is why in the last quarter we see a good profit level of 47 billion. In the entire year, the segment's profit was 44 billion pesos. And at the end of December, December 31st, the existing reserve is close
está en cerca de
36
billion
pesos.
Let's
take now
a
close look at the figures of Sud Asset Management on slide 18.
Por decir que
let's
la
begin by saying that the net profit of the company increased 45%, reaching 627 billion pesos.
Y esto está
this is mainly backed by sound commercial dynamics and increased revenue from commissions reaching 13.6 in the year. In terms of the different segments, in savings for retirement, it grew 11.8%, while Inversiones Sura and Investment Management grew 25.4%, all aligned with the company's strategy to develop these new business lines, which we have mentioned in past years. That 13.6% growth is in pesos. In local currencies, the growth is close to 9.4%.
Operating revenue reached 3 trillion, up almost 10%.
That is 300 billion pesos more.
Sin embargo, pueden
however,
ver que en el
you can
por
see that in revenue from reserves, we had
en
a decreasing impact with 91 billion pesos less compared to the year 2020, mainly due to several effects in Chile. The other item worth highlighting, which is not very positive, is the equity method and the case of protección, in which, similar to what Gonzalo said in the introduction about Sudamericana, the 10% increase of the minimum wage had an impact on the provisional insurance.
Y ahí estamos hablando
this means
que
that this
mayor deslizamiento
slide
del salario
of the minimum wage versus inflation, along with the higher claims ratio from COVID,
a protección
had an impact on these financial statements close to 92 billion pesos.
Los gastos operacionales,
on the other hand,
lado,
the operating expenses grew 12.8% in pesos,
and 9.2%
in local currency.
This
is mainly influenced by 68 billion pesos from a reserve made in the operation of Mexico for a commercial restructuring process, and hence to align the company with the commission
de la comisión dropping que ustedes saben que hemos anunciado que pasó de 0.83 a 0.57,
so the company must control expenses from here on to keep the profitability levels
we esperamos nosotros y esperan ustedes los accionistas.
Expect.
La utilidad operativa entonces está alcanzando cerca de $1 trillion en la compañía. Los invito a que pasemos a la página siguiente donde vemos en más detalle
to see in detail the segment of savings for retirement.
Señalando que continúa con un buen desempeño, una recuperación positiva de la base salarial, podemos ver que los AUMs están creciendo 6.3% y vemos crecimiento tanto en las operaciones que están soportadas o que cobramos a través del flujo o en las que cobramos a través de los AUMs, esto pues continúa la dinámica que hemos visto en trimestres anteriores y yo señalaría que digamos en los diferentes países presentamos esta buena dinámica. Tal vez aquí para resaltar es la empinada que se ve en la gráfica del ratio de gastos, pero principalmente está asociado a esos 68,000 de post que mencionaba y que lo que se está haciendo pues es construyendo una eficiencia estructural para adelante en la Afore Sura. Esto también es importante resaltar que este crecimiento en AUMs es muy positivo cuando se tiene en cuenta que los retiros de Chile y de Perú fueron cerca de 27 billones. Pues se ha podido compensar a través del flujo y de la rentabilidad esos retiros que se tuvieron a lo largo del año en estas dos geografías. Pasemos a la página número 20, donde vamos a ver los segmentos asociados al negocio voluntario, es decir, inversión y investment management. Resaltando una serie de puntos que muestran la positiva evolución de este segmento. Primero, un aumento en los AUMs de cerca de 10 billones de pesos, que observamos ya llegando a una cifra alrededor de 77 billones los AUMs. Segundo, un flujo neto positivo de 2.4 billones, unos clientes que ya alcanzan los 2 billones, que muestra, repito, esa buena dinámica de crecimiento de los segmentos. Observamos, como lo mencionamos al principio, un crecimiento en las comisiones de cerca del 25%. Ese crecimiento en las comisiones debe verse, por un lado, en las comisiones de los AUMs y, por otro lado, en el margen de seguros, que todavía tenemos una operación de seguros en un producto más asociado al ahorro, que es Unit Link en Chile. Este tuvo un impacto de cerca de 12 mil millones y es uno de los causantes de una menor o un impacto en la utilidad operativa en el cuarto trimestre, y el otro impacto que sumaría a ese el margen de seguros es que fue necesario tener un castigo y un impuesto diferido en la operación de Chile de cerca de 10 mil millones. Esas dos razones son las que nos llevan entonces a terminar el trimestre con una utilidad negativa, una utilidad operativa negativa. Sin embargo, este segmento como un todo está aportando en Sura hace semanas versus el 2020 una utilidad neta adicional de cerca de 37 mil millones de pesos.
To 37 billion pesos.
Los invito entonces a que pasemos a la sección de proyecciones. En la sección de proyecciones vamos a ir también por las tres compañías, por Suramericana, Grupo Sura. Y nuestra idea entonces es continuar ilustrando trimestre tras trimestre la evolución de estas diferentes variables, estos diferentes indicadores que constituyen variables claves para el entendimiento de la buena dinámica que esperamos tengan las compañías en los próximos trimestres y años.
And years.
Empecemos con Suramericana.
Let's begin with Suramericana.
Lo primero entonces es que continúan unas expectativas de crecimiento de doble dígito en las primas emitidas. Podemos observar que el 22 estamos hablando de un rango entre el 11% y 13% y más hacia en los tres años, terminando en el 24% más hacia 10-12%, que está en línea con lo que hemos visto en los años recientes, y es aprovechando las capacidades que hoy se tienen en la región para llevar nuevas soluciones, principalmente soluciones de vida o soluciones de salud que en ese portafolio de las compañías que se adquirieron generales todavía tienen bastante potencial de crecimiento. Hablar de una compañía de 22 billones de crecimiento, el 10% de una compañía de 22 billones, estamos hablando de un reto de cerca de 2.5 billones anuales de crecimiento. Entonces es retador desde ese punto de vista porque ya una compañía de ese tamaño es una compañía relevante solo la parte del crecimiento. Cuanto a la siniestralidad, estamos viendo la siniestralidad para el 2022
2022, it was 70-71, and that path towards recovery of the claims ratio displayed at pre-pandemic levels. Surely this year we still have some impact from the pandemic, at least in this first quarter.
Pero esperamos but que en la medida as we que overcome the situation throughout the world, pandemia, the impact will
be less in terms of claims ratio. Also remember the claims ratio related to cars.
Que en la medida
and
que
as the problem is overcome,
pues there will be a convergence hacia la
towards
normal
levels.
We see the huge efforts made in expenses versus premiums issued of 11-12% with projects that are necessary to develop
entonces,
in the company.
En esa,
so the goal
towards
returning
to normal levels of
Sudamericana
in terms of the
ROE
para el 22, in 2022 is
7-9%,
and a ROE in the next 3 years of over 11%,
returning
to the levels to generate value or above the cost capital that the company has had. Remember, throughout this presentation, we have said that Grupo Sura had a quicker recovery towards the pre-pandemic levels of 2019, but Sudamericana was hit hard in 2020. And 2021 as a whole was a year with more impact. I mean,
the
recovery has not taken place at the same speed, and the fact that the economies are open, we're all back on the street, is an expense that the insurance companies are assuming. So going back to normal for Sudamericana will take a bit longer.
Vemos también el ROTE,
here we see the
tangible
return
capital
of capital
en niveles del
at
10-11%
for 2022 and at 16-17%, which is a sound level
para el 24.
For 2024.
La página 23,
on slide
23, los detalles de las
we will see
daily
details of the projections of Sura Asset Management. Let's begin with the
AUMs,
which are expected to grow by
10-12%.
This growth is backed by the business of savings for retirement at 8-10%, plus
Sura
Inversiones and Investment Management at
16-20%
of AUM growth.
Cuando pasamos a
in
los
terms
ingresos
of revenue from commissions,
es importante entender
we need to understand
el
what
de lo que hay detrás
this
de esa
projection.
Proyección. Para el 22,
by 2022, we expect a drop of
5%. Que para los
to 5%, and for the following 3 years, we expect a growth of
4-6%
in line with the company's history. Why is there a negative growth in 22? Because of the drop of Mexico's commission. Remember, Mexico's commission is moving from
0.83
to 0.57, and will be compensated with the growth of AUM as of 23, providing more contributions. In short, in Mexico, we have a J curve, which eventually, when the AUM decreases from 6.5 to 15%, this will be a bigger business, but on a short time basis, it is impacted by the smaller commission. We also need to say that when you add the operating margin and the profitability level, the J curve of Peru has been displayed due to the bids, as well as the investment management and Inversiones Sura business geared towards higher profitability levels.
Entonces, lo que
so in 2022, we observed an operating margin improved by 40-42%.
In 21,
it reached 35%, carrying on with the efficiency efforts, but with an impact on the adjusted ROE of 6-7%.
The
tangible return is
7%.
So after the J curve passes, we will move to profitability ranges of 7-8%, or a tangible profitability of 22-23%. Now let's look at the projections of Grupo Sura. I'd like to remind you that to make these projections, it's key to understand that the
portafolio de cinco inversiones principales y que esas cinco inversiones principales tienen un detalle de proyección en una senda a un nivel detallado de granularidad que al final del día lo que recogemos acá es esa granularidad en nuestro consolidado. Estamos hablando entonces de dos puntos fundamentales que lo hemos mencionado en nuestra estrategia a lo largo de los últimos años, inclusive. Uno es el proceso de rentabilización que se demoró, que se está corriendo cerca de dos años por esta pandemia, y dos es el proceso de desapalancamiento que también tiene algún impacto por la pandemia, a medida que recibimos menos dividendos de las compañías y el proceso de pago de deuda o de desapalancamiento puede ser menor. ¿Qué estamos esperando? Como lo mencionaba entonces Gonzalo, estamos esperando un crecimiento en nuestra utilidad neta entre 10 y 15% para el 2022. Estamos esperando que la deuda neta contra los dividendos recibidos, que es el principal indicador que nos miran las calificadoras y que le hacemos un monitoreo permanente para garantizar que estamos por debajo de ese nivel de 5, que es el límite que nos ponen, continúa en esa senda hacia abajo. Continues towards that downtrend as we have capitalization initiatives or dividends received that are better than those we had in revenue for Grupo Sura in 2021 to reach those levels of 4 times the net debt to dividends. And we expect with these initiatives and with the expectations of the following years to be below 2.5 times by 2024, which we consider más que saludable en, a very sound en de level in
terms of the deleveraging process. In terms of the ROE,
by 2022, we will be reaching an 8-10%,
and we also expect,
as Gonzalo
said in the introduction,
our ROE that will receive the barrier of 11-12%,
which is the capital cost that we have in the company.
Que lo teníamos para el 22, pero que con los dos años de la pandemia claramente se debe postergar hacia una recuperación que alcancemos pues esa generación de valor que esperamos todos para la compañía y para este
portafolio.
Muchísimas gracias por su atención. Entonces, si les parece, pasamos a la sesión de preguntas y respuestas.
To the Q&A session. Good morning once again. Thank you for joining us. Let's begin the live Q&A session. We have several questions on the chat related to the takeover bid. Camilo is asking, when you use part of the gain of the earnings of last year to have a new program for the stocks to expand the program that you have. Thank you, Carlos, for your question. And again, hello to everybody that's connected to this call. Let's talk about the reacquisition of stocks. As you know, this is a program of Grupo Sura approved for some years, an innovation and a significant innovation and that the market many times claimed. And in the development under the mechanism of being in the market, we reached a level of 50 billion pesos. We have always said that this is another tool that we have at Grupo Sura to handle capital. We have to understand that we have different uses of that capital available. always seeking how to serve the different interests. Here we have the service of the debt and capital, and we have to seek that deleveraging process. On the other hand, we also have the investments which the holding makes. And thirdly, and most importantly, the dividends to our shareholders. You know, in the developed markets like the States, the money that shareholders receive is through the reacquisition of stocks broke. So today, this is a tool that Grupo Suda has to handle capital. Right now, we have $250 billion approved, but we have to be realistic. We have to see if it's convenient to use that tool because of the floaters we have in the company after the changes of the base of shareholders. Here, what we're seeing, that under the criteria of capital assignment and looking at the use of capital, if it's the best way to assign capital or not, but it's part of our toolbox. Thank you. Perfect. Let's follow with a question of Mauricio Meses. How do you think that your relationship will be with the new shareholders? And how is the removal of managers? Well, thank you, Mauricio, for your question. It's important to give you a context. Since early 2000, we were a leader in corporate governance, and we were told so by the Dow Jones Sustainability Index. So we have a corporate governance that rules our relations with all shareholders, independent of their shares in the company. And we have government entities that rule that relationship. The idea here is to create value for all the shareholders. So we're sure that through those regulations and our corporate governance and our institutional ties with our shareholders, we'll seek to create value for 100% of our shareholders. Remember, we have been operation 75 years, and we have created value with sustainability and on a long-term basis. So what we expect is to add among all shareholders so that these companies can still create value and follow the path that we all need and that shareholders and investors need and seek in society as well. When it comes to the schemes of incentives for management, I told you that before that Dow Jones has recognized these standards. The company, it's as relevant for you to keep in mind that we have human talent. So we not only have to keep in mind the loyalty of clients and shareholders, but also of our personnel. So we think that the results that we have today of 75 years is a result of a human talent we've had. So this leads us to know that it's fundamental to have loyalty of our human talent. So this is why we're giving knowledge, commitment, long-term vision for all of our shareholders and obviously to our clients. So since 2015, the independent members of the board of directors designed a process, a program of loyalty at the moment of leaving. Today, this program gathers all of the employees with salaries above 25 minimum wages. This is for those that are not in Colombia. The maximum limit of quoting for retirement pension is 25 minimum wages. So those that earn more than 25 minimum wages, employees contribute when they retire. This is called a closure of pensional gap. So when the employees leave, when 62 male and 58 females being in the company at least 15 years, the company will contribute a proportion of several levels that will close that pensional gap 35%. It really has to do with pari passu between the employees and the company. So this is the system there is. And again, this is for all of the employees of this company, that earn more than 25 minimum wages, and this is consolidated at the moment that they retire for their pension at 62 and 58. It's also, when it comes to retributions, the bonus for results of the company every year. When it comes to Grupo Sura and the companies covers 100% of the employees. It's not only bonds for senior management, but for all employees that earn more than 25 minimum wages. And since 2015, the independent members of the board sought to regulate for the loyalty of human talent so that we can all end our days working for the company better. I would like to add, Gonzalo, complimenting what you said, that the scheme of incentives has been constantly validated with international human talent firms to look at the competitiveness of our company. These are not, we don't have a small company in the region. And again, we're always comparing ourselves with other industries, other competitors, and with external advisors, looking at if we have proper competitiveness levels. You're right, Ricardo. And we look at the salary wages with these international firms as well, which have been assisting us for many years precisely for our competitiveness, as Ricardo mentioned. The next question is of Andres Arango. What's the impact in the exchange difference on the company's results? Andres, we can see this in the presentation. The difference in the exchange had an impact that was positive on the financial statements of 2021. And I would underline that of Grupo Sura, and then Carlos Oquendo can talk about the exchange difference of Sura asset management. In Grupo Sura, the debt is entirely in pesos, so you do not see this. In Grupo Sura, we have international bonds that expire in 2026, $50 billion. The capital is entirely covered. You can see that in 2020, there was an impact. We were completing the coverage of the capital bonus, which matured in 2026. In 21, we see a positive result because with a series of hedges that value as the exchange rate evolves. So in 21, Grupo Sura showed a positive result. So when it comes to the projections of the company, I would assume that this is covered and we have a scheme of hedges that is valued constantly, but it should have an impact close to zero in the positives and negatives of the valuation of the debt and the derivatives that we have month to month. So Carlos can tell us more about Sura Asset Management, which differs. Andres and everybody, good morning. When it comes to Sura Asset Management, we begin with a capital structure that contains $850 million of debt in dollars. And this is covered in 94%. And the purpose of the impact, the exchange difference and hedges, is that value is made through our strategy seeking that line of zero. Obviously, we are trying to maximize the value that we receive in Colombian pesos, since each of the countries in their currencies send us everything to Colombia. So the second purpose is to maximize the value of dividends in Colombian pesos. Indeed, in 2021, we had 70 billion pesos more than budgeted by this management. We also have other investments made in the country related to the Semilla capital invested to develop businesses. That capital, seed capital, is in Chile, Colombia, and Mexico. And we also have another reserve that is mainly in Chile in dollars. The effect of the seed capital and the effect of the reserve that we have, since it's in dollars, mostly had a positive impact of $99 million. And the yield and valuation of this seed capital also had a positive effect shown in the line of other operating revenue. So the medium and long-term structure that we have in debt and capital management and the reimbursement of dividends to the holding had very positive results in 2021. Next question is of Felipe Rojas, related to the perspectives of different segments of Sudamericana this year. Thank you, Carlos Felipe. As to the perspectives we have of Sudamericana, as we've said before, our perspectives of revenue is to have a double-digit growth. We have space to do so in the different subsidiaries and countries, segments. When it comes to claims ratio, we hope to go back to our historical levels because as of today, we see the effects of vaccination in every country. So we're quite positive that the negative effects that we've had with COVID will be less ahead. And when it comes to the casualty segment and mobility, we've had corrective measures adjusting the tariffs to obviously keep this higher cost of the losses that we're assuming because of supply shortage. And when it comes to expenses, because of the projects that we have in operation, the investments we're making in digital channels, the idea is to have a more efficient company. And the sum of the above is to have results, an industrial result that reaches zero. So the financial result is of the total contribution made to the company. So we have a good outlook of the company, of these items, and we hope that we can meet them soon. Next question is of Gallego. There are two questions. How long can the restructuring of the operation can take place in Mexico? And could you tell us what's your perspective of commissions in other countries and regulatory risks in other countries? Well, look, the commercial restructuring in Mexico began already in the past 2 months of 2021. Here we were waiting not only for the lower commissions, but also for other laws or guidelines on the possibilities that the Afores would have commercially. However, there was nothing definite on this, but the company with the lower commission began in 2021 again to make the restructure. This restructure can take the entire first half of the year, but there is something worth highlighting, and it said it will depend on the movements we see in the market. We clearly have identified that the best growth we can have is organic. And in past years, after our initiatives and commercial strategies, we have a net flow of affiliates in Mexico. So we're looking at the reaction of the market now. And from that viewpoint, we are one of the largest affiliates that have the capability to assume in the best way the lower commissions. So our commercial strategy and all this plan will depend on the movements we'll see in the first half of the year, and to have better net profit in AUMs. And the other question of the commissions, Let's see, the biggest impact was seen in Mexico, which has a formula that should keep the rate stable for next coming years. And the positive part of this is that in the reform, we have not only an increase of the contribution from 6 to 15% from the employees as of 2023 to 2030, but it also comes with the release of reserves, in which we have a reserve rate of 0.50%. So this is also a positive effect of that reform we had in Mexico. The other country where there's been a lot of loud noise is in Chile, obviously, because of what's been expressed by the president there. But in Chile, in the past month, there was an approval of the universal pension of 825,000 pesos for people above 65 years old. So the pension funds there have dropped, and there is a positive impact acknowledged as well because of the initiatives of withdrawals in the past 2 years. Because one of the initiatives that the people have through surveys made is to take care within the new constitution is that the savings made for retirement is individual and handled by the people per se. So both items that the population has voted and surveys made to in the change of the constitution of Chile. And all of this approval of the universal pension for those above 65 in Chile has made the pressure for changes have decreased. And this is where we had a lot of noise in these two countries. Perfect. Next question, Nelson Bocanegra. Are you looking for a strategic partner in Grupo Sura, and how's the process going? Nelson, thank you for your question. First, let me give you a context first. For 20 years now at Suramericana, we've had the participation of a strategic partner in Munich Re. Last year, it's been with us for 20 years with 18.9%. It's been a long-term relation that has created a lot of value. Also with Sura Asset Management, you can see that we have another strategic partner. So we have announced to the market in time seeking the possibility of seeking a strategic partner to create value for all of our shareholders, not with the rule of passivity. Once we have the first takeover bid, the search for a strategic partner had to be suspended. So after the rule of passivity ends, we will be looking at this long-term new strategic partner. Next question from Stefania. Have you thought about initiatives to have a ROE that's closer to the ROTE for Sura Asset Management? What investments do you have for that ROE of 7% of Sura Asset Management? And what was the driver for such good results? If you want, Stephanie, thank you for your question. Let me begin with the ROE of Grupo Sura. As we mentioned in the call, the ROE of Grupo Sura is the result of a path that we have for each of the companies of the portfolio. So we're looking at the financial business like Suramericana, Sura as a management, Bancolombia, the business of industries of Grupo Argos and Grupo Nutres, and for each company, we have a different projection to create value and profitability. So the figure of Grupo Sura is really a result. And that result is backed by a mix of the development of different companies. So we have companies with a return or ROE or ROTE above that of Suda Asset Management. You saw the results of the bank with returns of 15. Suda Americana in its history has had returns of 15. So in a certain way, what you see is a mix that has to do with diversification and many synergies between those companies. And that, again, is the result of Grupo Suda. It really has to do with that mix. Now, let's give the floor to Carlos to talk about Suda Asset Management. Yes, when it comes to Suda Asset Management, when it comes to the business of savings for retirement, and despite the decrease of operations in Mexico, we think that that operation will remain with our ROE that's specific. So we believe that for the entire APR segment, we can maintain that ROE. And what we expect is that the Inversiones Sura and Investment Management, which have reached their point of balance in next year's, they can be part, they can be with us in the positive field with the ROE figures or that guidance, the figures and guidance that Ricardo showed us. You know that this company was entirely acquired and in its equity, it has intangibles. So we look at the ROTE, which I said grew last year 22%, and we expect to keep it in that line with the guidance. I'd like to highlight what Carlos said and Ricardo. Because the chance of infinite growth that we have to close that gap is the voluntary segment plus the formalization of the economy. Today, Latin America has 50% of informality. As that gap is filled out, the savings for retirement will obviously grow, and that will help to close that gap of the ROE. And while we grow with voluntary savings, there's also an infinite possibility. Carlos was telling us about it. We can fill literally or reaching better that ROE with the total equity, despite the intangibles that Carlos mentioned. And with regards, Stephanie, to your question about the drivers of profitability for the segment of casualty and life, it's important to keep in mind the following. First, our investments management is made under managing assets and liabilities in life. The companies, mainly in Colombia and Chile, where we have liabilities indexed to inflation, we make investments of portfolios indexed to inflation. So the increase of inflation has helped us. The higher rates, although it gives us prices to market, we have to acknowledge that we are the holders of long-term papers. So it relates more to the maturities. So it really shows the paper per se. In casualty, we have benefits because we have investments tied to the dollar, and we've been increasing our share and we have been diversifying as well. And we've had better profitability levels. And also the higher rates help us because the resources that we receive derived from the company's revenue every day, we're investing at better rates and obviously will improve the profitability of our portfolios. And I'd like to add the following. All of those portfolios obey reserve levels above the standards, above what's ruled, but with regards to our risk management, we think they are prudent. The fact that Sudamericana from 2020 to 2021 covered 3 billion pesos of the pandemic in addition to claims ratio, not only on the income statement, but also in cash flow, a base that sound vision to have reserves, looking at the risks deeply, closely. We are companies with a long-term basis and view. So also the level of reserves is very important for the management that Juan mentioned, because we're talking about reserve levels, which are above the reserve levels that regulators insist on. And it really has to do with our analysis, our individual analysis, and our knowledge of risk. So we have to correlate the yields and the management made, as Juan mentions, with the level of reserves and the portfolio and that sustainability that implies our long-term vision, which allowed us, in hindsight, to see the company absorbed in a year and a half, 3 billion pesos on the income statement and in the cash flow. I'm going to gather several questions before that relate to the stocks. Investors are asking about the price of the stock, the fundamental price, and why, despite the results, the stock price is not that good. Thank you, Carlos, and thank you all for your question. This is a very relevant question. I would begin by saying that since 2017 till today, you've seen a lack of a link between the results of the company and the price of stocks. And really, there are many topics related to the Colombian Stock Exchange. I don't think it's worth talking about that, but we should focus on what we have done in these companies and what's fundamental here. And here I'd like to say that in the past decade, and I'm sorry I go so back, companies have bet on growing in the region. These are multi-Latin companies that have a very valuable platform, especially those of Grupo Suda. We're talking about more than 50 million clients, brands that are leader, double-digit growth in different segments with the scale and knowledge and integration of markets and operations, which are components that you start to see on fundamental figures. For many years, we've said we have a platform, we're expanding. Now we want to optimize that platform and reach profit levels that are proper, and to have a cash flow and a capital assignment that's proper as well. What does this mean in terms of the stock? On a long-term basis, those fundamentals in the market that's more developed that shows stock prices should close, again, that gap between the stock price and the value of the fundamentals. I don't want to talk here about the details of the fundamental value of Grupo Suda stocks. You know the fundamentals and arguments we said about each company, not only of Suda Americana, but also of Suda Asset Management, and those of the teleconferences given by Nutresa and Grupo Argos. You know the market share, their leadership. So when you look at this long-term portfolio and you see the platform it has regionally in each of the companies, definitely, you see a large difference between the value of the stock. This is not, we're not talking about something recent. This is as old as of 2017. So that's the point I'd like to mention for you all. Okay, because of time, we have a several questions that we couldn't answer here, but we will answer them through the investor relations department. Thank you all for joining us today. We hope to see you for the end of the first quarter of 2022. And to add to what Ricardo said, clearly our responsibility is to have more clients, to have double-digit growth figures, to have more sustainability with a market that's more mature. Surely the stock will acknowledge this. If we cannot grow and we don't have sustainability, if our equity doesn't grow, and we don't have more customers, we don't have a market that will acknowledge this. We work in a relation of risk in which growing at double digit, as the companies are, managing expenses, our equity and assets, the market surely will acknowledge it. So to all of you, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your trust. We'll always be here to answer all of your questions through our management of investor relations and until our next call of results. Thank you.